So I started watching a new show.
What show?
It's called Nora from Queens. Have you watched that with Awkwafina?
Wait, is that the cartoon?
No, it's not. It's with real people.
Oh, it's with Awkwafina?
Yeah.
She's amazing.
She's amazing.
I have not... Have I seen that? Is that where she's... Is she, like, an actress in it?
She, like, doesn't have a job. Unless she, later in episodes, gets a job, which, like, maybe she becomes an actress. But right now, she has no job, and she lives with her dad and her grandma. And it's amazing.
I do love Awkwafina. I mean, she's pretty freaking funny.
If you watch it, though, I'm telling you right now, you are going to fall in love with the grandma, because she is, like... She's like Sister Michael level of like amazing. I can't even describe her. She's so funny.
Like, she's kind of mean.
She's so nice to her family, but she's like really sassy to everyone else.
I love it.
Like, there was one where she comes in and she's like, she has this high voice. Hey! And Awkwafina's like, whoa, you got a haircut. And she, like, has this, like, short bleach blonde hair. And she goes, yeah, I really wanted my hair to look like Eminem. How do I look? And she was like, you look great, Grandma. She's like, I thought so, too. Thanks. It's just like...
Wow.
I don't even know. It's so good.
I love that.
So that's what I got going on now.
Well, I have a show for you.
What is it?
I came prepared with the show.
Oh my.
It is on HBO Max, which I know you have because I think you have my goodies.
Whoopsie!
Sure. Whoopsie! Do. HBO, don't get mad at us.
Whoops!
It is super new. It came out this year and it's called Hacks.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
Yes. It has Jean Smart. She is older, mm-hmm. but if you see her face, you'll know who she is. And she is this, in the show, she's this legendary comic that has been around forever and, like, plays in Vegas. And she kind of, like, owns Vegas. And she's at the kind of end of her career where they're, like, trying to kind of get rid of her. And she gets teamed up with this young writer mm-hmm. who is, like, 25. And is like a hot mess, and they have this really interesting dynamic, and it's kind of dark, but it's really funny, and it's hysterical.
Ooh, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I think it's done very, very well, and I want more people to watch it so I can talk about it with them. So that's gonna be you,
because
you're my person.
All right, well, I have the login info, so there's no excuse.
You can blow it in a weekend if you want.
Oh, I love that. I love quick commitments, Ray.
There you go. So I got a job, you got a job. We also watch movies every week. We got jobs.
Jobs. We're adults with jobs. We did it.
Sisters. Sisters who've seen it. We are the sisters, sisters who've seen it. Sisters, shooby-dooby-doo-wop, sisters, shooby-dooby-doo-wop, sisters, 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 sisters. Sisters who've seen it.
Hey there!
Hello!
Welcome back!
Welcome back, listeners. How you doing?
Good?
Good!
Good! We hope you're good. That's great.
If you're not doing so good, give us a sign.
Oh, winky
by
face.
By liking us and subscribing. I'm just kidding, but not really. So.
Well, that was an interesting plug.
Sorry. I couldn't hold it in.
That was almost like M. Night Shyamalan's dialogue in this movie. Ooh. But anyways.
Oh, I cannot wait to get into it. Okay. Let me introduce ourselves because we got stuff to say. So, listeners, we are the Sisters Who've Seen It, the podcast where two sisters who are not movie critics look back on some of our favorites throughout the years through a psychological, ethical, and familial lens. I'm Katie.
I'm Bridget.
And aliens are real. That's not from the movie. That's from me. That's what I'm saying to you right now. So, sorry.
I thought you were going to say Abigail Breslin's line was, there's a monster in my room. Can I have a glass of water?
She's such a little cutie patoo.
She's 5. Like,
she's so
what
cute.
What a little gem.
And what's our movie this week, Bridge?
The 2002 hit, Signs.
Yeah.
Woo! And Kate, I'll be honest, after watching this movie, I proceeded to go on YouTube and look up like UFOs and aliens and
scary shit.
I mean, I'm with you. And
they're out there.
Hopefully at this point, Rory McCulkin's been studying aliens from his one book. And can teach us what to do, because I don't feel prepared, you know? Like, this is kind of like how they don't teach you taxes in school. Like,
yes.
What do we do when the aliens come? I'm right. Near water, so I guess that's good, but I think that was a plot fail, but we could get there.
Oh my god, I can't wait to get into it, because I know a lot of people have opinions about this movie, and
ooh,
I don't
yeah.
I don't think my opinions line up with those people, because ooh. I have a big positive bias, but yeah, so M. Night Shyamalan wrote and directed, which we know. You didn't need to tell us.
Wrote, directed, produced, and acted. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Very Quentin Tarantino in that sense. Like, I wrote it and directed it. I'm going to be in it. You're like, okay. I mean,
well, I did read some stuff with him, and The Sixth Sense was his big hit. And everyone's like, he's a genius. And then he did Unbreakable, and everyone's like, he's not a genius. He's a one-hit wonder.
I love Unbreakable.
Well, the reviews and how it did was terrible, but. Then this movie, he was kind of, I think, trying to climb his way back up of it. And I think that's why he is acting in it. It was kind of a weird, like, because he's not in all his movies. Is he in all of his movies?
He's been in a decent amount.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
He was in Lady in the Water, which you've probably never seen that, and don't do it.
Lord.
Not worth it. And I'm pretty sure he was in Split as like a small cameo doing something, unless I made that up.
Well, Kate, I believe you, because I don't feel like Googling it, so sounds great. Do you want to attempt the synopsis?
Oh boy. All right. I'm going to try. Let me take a sip.
I think you're going to be great at this.
Aliens
are listening.
Aliens are listening. They can hear us through our baby monitors and cell phones. And aliens, if you like our podcast, you can follow us, subscribe to us, and leave a review from outer space. We haven't gotten one of those yet. So
that would
cool.
be so cool.
That
leave
would
us
be
a
cool.
sign. Ooh. Like, you know those like old school, like when you used to have your I am status, you would like draw like a really terrible thing out of like your keyboard.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I want like crop signals for our
crop
review.
Crop signals? Crop circles?
Yes.
Texting crop circles?
Okay, I've already ruined this. You go. I'm going to stop talking.
So, all right. So the movie starts off where you basically meet the main characters pretty quickly. We've got Mel Gibson, pre Cuckoo Bananas, I think. Pre public Cuckoo Bananas. Mm. So, you know, I like him in this movie. I think he does a really good job.
Ooh.
We've got Joaquin Phoenix, who plays Mel Gibson's younger brother, and they kind of live together. They live on a farm, and then Mel Gibson has two kids, Abigail Breslin and Rory Culkin, and they're younger, and there's no mom, and we end up finding out the mom died because she got hit by a car into a tree, and she was cut in half, but somehow didn't become two halves, and then she dies. So that's horrible and really statistically impossible, but we did it. So that's terrible. So the mom died, and I think it was like within the same year.
6 months apart. It happened 6 months earlier. Yeah.
So you also come to find out that the dad, Mel Gibson, he used to be a reverend. Was it a reverend or a priest?
I mean,
okay, he was something.
All of that.
He was something.
They just call him father,
and he lost his faith after that happened to the wife.
Yes.
So now he, I guess, just tends to the farm for income. I don't really know how we do that. We don't really talk about the jobs much. So right away, you meet these people. They're on a farm. They have a cornfield, and oh snap, we got some crop circles up in here. Oh snap. And the kids are weird about it, but that's okay for me. So all this weird stuff starts to happen. They think it's like a prank. They call the police, and then their dogs start acting weird, and there's just like dogs that die.
Kate, I know. There should be a trigger warning that, like, you know, typically if one dog dies, you don't love the movie, but we had two die.
I really wish instead of dog death, we could have had just they like ran away. Yes. Because like that's still probably out of character for the dogs and I would have got it. So you don't need to like murder them off screen. Anyway, so there's crazy stuff happening. They don't know what's going on. And they're like, you know what? We got to get our mind off this craziness. Our dog just, the 8-year-old just murdered the dog. We're all getting pranked. Let's go into town and have a pizza. That makes sense to do. So they do that. And while they're in town, Rory Culkin buys a book about aliens, which is me. Like, I am Rory Culkin as an 8-year-old buying books about that. And then they end up also seeing the guy who killed the mom. And that's awkward because we're all living in the same town and it's awkward. And then when they get back to the house, then on the news, they find out, oh, snap, there's like UFOs flying around. Or, well, first there's like a bunch of other crop circles in other countries. And they're like, that's so weird. And then it comes to find, okay, now there's like straight up UFOs. And they're like, oh, they don't even care. They're just like flying above us. Nobody wants to do anything about it. We're just going to look at them and film it. So that's great. Thanks, government. Thanks for that. And then things really kind of escalate pretty quickly. They basically, they're starting to hear stuff outside their house at night. And so the two guys, they see someone and they think it's a person. They think it's like the prankster, but then the guy, the thing, is able to like jump up on the roof and they are like, what the fuck? And really, and again, this is where I will start to show my defense of the movie. Joaquin Phoenix does such a great job because he really shows the like realization in real time, in my opinion, of like, oh my God, this is not human.
Yeah.
And I love that. And then Mel Gibson is kind of like the deny. I don't believe. He's the non-believer. You know, there's a lot of themes like that and stuff. So it takes him a little longer to kind of get there. And actually, Mel Gibson ends up seeing like more aliens than anyone else. He sees one. He sees one like in the cornfield when he's alone at night, which like, don't go in the cornfield alone at night, guys. Like, what? I mean, when are we going to learn?
Children of the Corn scared me enough. I'll never do that.
No, like, just leave it alone. It's going to be there in the morning, you know? Like, you can get out there when it's daytime. Just, like, stay safe. And he ends up getting a call from the guy who murdered the wife. And so he's like, wow, better go over there. Instead of calling back, I'll just drive over. He drives there. And then he has kind of this conversation where the guy basically apologizes and is, like, really cryptic and weird because it's M. Night Shyamalan himself. Yeah. And he kind of alludes to he caught one in the pantry and why he didn't say alien, I don't know. And so Mel Gibson sees another alien. It's crazy. And then basically it comes to this kind of like, really, and it happens kind of like halfway in the movie where basically everyone's like, we gotta like protect our house because they're coming. Like they are coming to get us. So we're either gonna leave or we're gonna stay. And everyone is like, we wanna stay. And Mel's like, I think we should leave. And they're all like, no, we're gonna stay. And so then they're like, fine, we'll stay. And so then they try to board up the house, but the aliens get in. So then they go to the basement and now they're kind of like stuck in the basement. And there's a lot of spooky things that happen where they're like, you know, they're trapped down there and the kid has asthma. Oh my God, all these asthma kids, Goonies, get out of here. Doesn't have his asthma medicine, all this like crazy stuff. And then at the very, very end, they basically think they're safe, go up, and they ain't safe because there is a revenge alien there. The revenge alien makes me laugh really hard, but also doesn't ruin the movie for me. But basically he like takes little Rory asthma kid and he's like, I'm gonna fuck this shit up, so get ready. And then that's where Mel Gibson has his full flashback of when his wife died. And when his wife died, she said these kind of cryptic things to him, which at that moment seemed to click for him. And he was told to tell his brother Merrill to swing away. He used to be a baseball player. And he was told to see, which to me means like believe. Like, you have to believe in, like, this stuff and not be a denier and all that. And so Meryl then beats up the alien with the bat, which is great.
It is great.
Then there's also a little plot twist where the daughter, Abigail Breslin, she's, like, a water snob, I guess, and, like, leaves a bunch of water glasses, which, in all honesty, isn't that, like, every college kid? Like, they're all gonna have, like, 500 glasses of water laying around. Anyway, it's a plot point because water is, like, acid to the alien. So then Meryl just basically like hits all the water and then you defeat the aliens and then everyone's alive and Mel Gibson goes to church.
Hallelujah!
And I think the aliens are gone, I guess. I don't know. Who knows? So, that was short, right? Ish.
I think you did as best as you could. Because, like, it goes from, here's kind of my backstory, to, that's weird, to, oh, there seems to be aliens, to, wow, the entire Earth is going to be destroyed by aliens.
Yep.
And we're gonna die tonight.
And yep.
It's just like, you know, all of my notes just kept saying, they are not prepared.
No.
Like, I literally came down to dinner and I was like, James, listen, if aliens are at our door, I'm having a weapon. Yeah. I am boarding the doors faster. I am like, we're going to be on this quicker. They were so slow to react to what was happening.
Yeah.
It made it seem just like, I wanted to like shake them.
But I feel like part of the reason that it was like that was really because of Mel Gibson's character. Like, I think if he wasn't there, they would have been on top of way more. Because Rory Culkin was like, I'm 8 and I know what's up. And we need to wear tinfoil hats because they can hear our thoughts. We're and then Meryl's like, yeah, what he said. Oh my God. But Mel was like, no, guys, everybody chill. Like, gosh, so overreacting. Honestly, though, I'm sorry. We just had we're still having a global pandemic and we still had people being ding-a-lings and ding-dongs. So yeah, I could 100% believe that there would be people, you know, futzing around, taking their time, even though we're all seeing the aliens like invading. People would be like, it's made up. What's that one guy where he was like, it's to sell Coca-Cola. I was like, no, you exist.
13 soda commercials. They're definitely trying to sell.
That guy definitely has his own show on Fox News.
Oh so. My God. Like after Sean Hannity. Literally, it is, their like side characters are so painful that we need to take a moment and talk about how painful. You have first that guy that's convinced it's the soda companies making this happen.
Yeah.
Then you have the creepiest man of the entire movie.
M. Night?
Who was at the army office.
Oh my God, the sergeant?
Did you write down the line he said? Because this movie, how did no one just rip this apart? How isn't this, has to be a meme. This has to be something because it's the worst line.
That guy was terrible. Oh my God, where was it? He like talks and then he like leaves his mouth hanging open for a long time and you're like, what's up with that? Why aren't you being in the pros, getting your toes licked by beautiful women? Is that the line?
Yes. He literally says, wait, you had all these home run records and was this incredible baseball player? How come you're not getting all these women licking their toes? And if I was Joaquin Phoenix, I'd be like, cut. So, I'm gonna have to stop the writers there because don't M know. Okay, M, listen. So I think this is a little off. He's telling me about alien military tactics and then we're talking about sucking toes. So
yeah.
I'm just thinking this isn't right. And then you had the other creepy guy.
Oh my God, that guy.
Who was literally from the movie The Breakfast Club. He was like,
what?
Who was he? No, he wasn't, but he played that character. It's like the bad guy. Who's like the punky kid with the leather jacket.
I want to say Bender, but I'm definitely thinking Futurama.
No, John Bender. Is that what his name is? Whatever. Anyways, he literally looked at him and he was like, yeah, he also had the worst strikeout reputation ever. And he's not that great. And he shouldn't be getting the lick toes. And I just was like, why are you in this office with your leather jacket and your like literally high school punk attitude talking about this guy that... Why do you know his strikeout record, you weirdo? Have you been sitting in this office for like 10 years waiting for this moment?
It was definitely
so weird.
He doesn't even look up. What he just like is like, I'm gonna say this without looking because that's when you know.
Oh my
how
God.
Cool I am. And you're like, no.
And the cop was weird. She was weird.
She broke into the home.
She tried as best as possible to like play a cop, but her word choices were so strange.
So I will say I do feel that is a M. Night Shyamalan trope as a writer and director, like, that's definitely a thing in his movies with, and you're right, it's with the side characters. They kind of get these weird lines, and a lot of other movies, I think they're kind of made fun of, and it's, I don't think that's in some of the better movies. It's not coming up as much. Like, I can't think of an example for that with, like, The Sixth Sense, for example, and I'm sure it's in there, but.
I'm sure it is, but.
Yeah, there are, yeah, I don't know why. It's like, he tries to make everyone super quirky, and you're like, it could just be normal, you know, it's alright.
Well, or, like, further the plot. Yeah. You know, like, I get the one guy not believing it, but, like, he was so annoying about the soda commercials, and, like, the soda company, and I don't even know. We also have to talk about the opening scene. The credits looks like I literally downloaded my first movie software, and yeah. was like, let me type in my name and produced by, and let's just see how big it's gonna grow, and I'm gonna pick this teal background and just hope for the best, because what?
Yeah, but like, isn't the music fun though?
The music is amazing.
If they didn't have the music, I would be pooping all over it, but the music saves it, in my opinion.
Okay, listen, as much as I'm ripping it apart, I like the movie,
yeah.
but there are such drastic bad scenes or bad, like, details that you're just kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, and then it starts off literally after the credits, it's like a Mel Gibson jump scare where he just, like, his face, like, like, comes into the frame, and you're like, ah! And, okay, listen, I know I've referenced this in previous episodes, and I'm gonna say right now, this is not the reason why I like this movie. I like this movie on its own, but I do always think of Scary Movie 3, because half of that movie is making fun of Signs, and I always think of Charlie Sheen is playing the Mel Gibson character, and he keeps hearing the kids scream, and he just, like, keeps going about his morning, and, like, he's, like, peeing, and then he hears kids scream, and he stops, and then he goes back to peeing, and then he hears kids scream, and stops. Like, that's just what this reminded me of, where I was like, Mel Gibson, I mean, I know you're stoic, but, like, he didn't even check on the kids. You see a scene where he's like, oh, I heard a scream, I'm gonna walk towards the kid's door, you know what? Never mind, I'm gonna turn around and go back this way. And then, you know, the children are alone in the cornfield! People, lock your doors better, so,
He left them alone a lot.
He did. And then he tries to, like, blame the brother. He's like, why weren't you watching them? I'm like, excuse me, who's the dad here, sir?
I mean, Joaquin's trying his best as, like, his new mother.
He's playing both roles here, yeah.
I just the whole preacher character, I was like, ugh, Mel Gibson is a preacher. Great.
It's very funny knowing that he then went on to do Passion of the Christ, and you're kind of like, know. Did you, like, want to do this role, or was it a genuine, you just got cast in it? I don't know. No. I would be curious to know that fact.
No, he wanted to. He read the script and loved it.
Well then.
Loved it, wanted it, and you're like, oh, your future, Mel. It's hard watching this now, knowing what we know about him, and mm-hmm. just being like, yes, I can take apart that you're a crappy person and take apart that you're a great actor, but it's distracting when your role is like a priest.
Well, he is technically an ex-priest, if we're gonna get technical.
Yeah, but then he goes back, so he's like, is he just taking a sabbatical?
He could be taking a sabbatical. Who knows?
I think he's taking a sabbatical.
Take a little vacation at the farm.
I don't know how he's making money with the sabbatical.
I don't know who's doing the crops, because y'all lost half your crops. How are you gonna make money? Well, and then Meryl, the brother, who's Joaquin Phoenix at one point, he's like, the cop was like, Hal's working at the gas station. I was like, who makes money here? Because, like, all I'm hearing is we're all gonna get, like, our house condemned. So, like, what? Like, are the aliens just the tax collectors and this is a metaphor? Let me know.
They could be the baby boomers coming for millennial money. I mean, I can see it. Also, do you know where it was located, Kate?
I do. I actually, so it was Bucks County, PA.
Ayy.
And I think around when this movie came out, I was friends with a girl whose dad, for whatever reason, like me, this girl, and her dad, we literally drove to this town. And like, it was like a friend of his, like, lived in this town. So we drove through, like, where they had, like, the little, like, the pizza shop and, like, the little bookstore. And then, like, I don't know if we saw the real crop circle, because there's a lot lot of like farm country in that area. But yeah, so that was something.
That's fun.
Yeah. I mean, and that's another M. Night Shyamalan trope, is a lot of his movies are in Philadelphia or around the Philadelphia, PA area, which like Bucks County is kind of, it's like an hour out of Philly. It's not like super close, but.
It's not super close.
He puts in the title card. He's like, this is Bucks County, PA. And then he's like, it's 40 miles from Philadelphia, in case you wanted to know. In case you want to go, do you want to go there right now? You hungry for cheesecake? Like, I'll go. I'm ready. And you're like,
don't worry, these aliens can't handle the water.
The water.
The drawer and the water.
Your boggles and water.
Get your Reese's boggles.
Pieces. Oh, God. Don't get me started.
Then, I'm jumping a little bit, but once he sees that crop,
Circle. Not symbol.
crop.
Crop with a C.
Circle. Yep. Even though technically there was other shapes, but okay.
technical so alien term.
I technically think there's a symbol, but anyways.
Okay.
The cop explains why she was so late, because this is, I think, where COVID started, because she was telling a story about this old lady that almost got ran over by some kids, and she was so mad she started spitting on newspapers in a store, and she was just spitting and spitting and spitting, and the cop said, I feel like I have to take a bath, and I was like, I feel like you have to get tested for COVID, because I think this is where it started.
And I wrote, why the fuck is this cop telling a weird story about a gross old lady? Nobody asked for this. Also, that's when she broke into the house. He literally is like in the kitchen, and then he turns around and she's standing there like leaning against the wall like, hey. And I was like, that's a crime, ma'am. You should know ma'am.
And then we have to weirdly have, which I called Pet Cemetery vibes, because the kids basically then have to stab the dog. And like, what?
Well, first, and right before that, we get to kind of see how Rory Culkin is playing a kid that I think a lot of people criticize and are kind of like, this is not a normal kid for his age, which is like true, but also I feel like he's just that type of kid who's like, I'm an adult kid. So he's like, he literally is like on the grill. He's like flipping burgers. I was like, 8-year-olds flipping burger? Hello? Any well, adults?
Kate, I'd like to add in a familial moment here.
Oh my god, is it about me flipping burgers?
No, because I'm gonna call out Mary, and Mary was definitely flipping burgers at like 8.
Mary would definitely go buy an alien book at the bookstore and be like, alright everyone, I did the research, I looked at the statistics, I've done the math, this is what's gonna happen in this amount of time.
And because our parents don't listen to this podcast, I'm not worried about talking about them, but because I think Mel Gibson was checked out, and in our scenario, our parents were tired of their 4 kids, I didn't find anything wrong with it, and maybe that's because that's how we grew up.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, he literally is like, my dad's checked out because my mom died, so I gotta play like adult, and I got this young sister, and I'm gonna like play adult. And I kind of was like, I totally get it, Mary. I mean, Rory. Yes. So
little Mary / Matilda / Rory Culkin.
Yeah.
But they mention this in the movie, because the part where the mom is saying like the cryptic things, the thing she says about Morgan is, tell him to play games and it's okay to be silly, because that's her basically being like, he's like a little 8-year-old adult, and he's definitely gonna act like more of a doll once mom is dead. So tell him, like, it's okay to still be a kid. And, like, I don't think a lot of people who see this movie pick up on that. But, like, because I think that's, like, so much the criticism I see is, like, they're ripping apart the kid actors. And I'm like, no, I disagree. I think the kid actors were awesome.
Yeah, I thought they were fantastic. I thought they helped the movie. I keep hearing from you that people don't think M. Night Shyamalan was in on it, and he was. And, like, you're kind of like, that was the point. And the audience is like, that's not real. And you're like, but that's the point.
Right.
Interesting.
But yeah, so Morgan, which is Rory Culkin's character, he has to stab his dog. Actually, we don't really know, because we don't see it. And I do feel like the scene right before this is not my favorite. It's where the cop is with Mel Gibson, and they're actually looking at the crop circle, and they're kind of talking, and she's like, I don't know, like, what machine could do this, or like something. And then she talks to him, and she says, you know, a lot of the animals in the county have been acting funny. And she says that, and then he like has this weird response where he stands up and like walks away from her, and he goes, don't call me father. And she's like, what? And then he goes, I don't hear my kids. And I was like, okay, so are we, like, what's more important right now? Are we more concerned about, like, what people are calling you? Or are you more concerned about your children left with the animal that we just found out is going to be crazy? Okay, figure it out.
That was so weird. I wrote that down. I was like, what? Stop calling me father. I don't hear my children. What's happening? Literally, it was like Emily Shyamalan was like, listen, Mel, Joaquin, you're only going to get about 200 words the whole movie. Some of the sentences don't actually connect. There may not be intros. There may not be outros. We'll just have to deal. There's no ad-libbing in my set. Moving on.
That, honestly, I would not be surprised like that, because I feel like he's definitely that type of person where he's like, hey, what? You did an extra breath in that sentence and I didn't account for that in the script. And you're like, oh no, everybody relax. Yeah, and so stabs a dog. That sucks. Don't do that in front of me. I hate that. And then Joaquin Phoenix casually comes out with like friggin' burger buns and he's like, hey guys, I got the burger buns. And Mel's like, okay, the dog's dead. Kids were flipping burgers. We've moved on. We're done with burgers.
He's like, put the potato salad down. We need you to focus.
Yeah. And then the next scene is where they have the night where they see the guy on the roof. I like this scene. I mean, it's a combination of scenes, but I like this part.
I liked it too. But Mel Gibson, I think, did some bad acting in this.
Well, yeah, it's like, again, I think some of the writing like masks the goods stuff in here. Because the whole thing where Joaquin's like, all right, we're going to go out. We're going to scare. You know, because they think it's like these guys, I guess, like doing pranks. They're like, we're not crazy. You know, we're going to be cursing. And then Mel's like, what kind of cursing? I'm like, who cares? Like, just get out there. Stop asking questions. My God.
Well, and knowing what we know about Mel Gibson, it's like, you can curse. It's on the record.
Yeah, like, you know what to do.
Stop. Yeah. And then he was even like, okay, cursing. But then like, how do I act crazy? I'm like, are you a child, right? Oh God, it was so annoying. So then, thank God, I think Joaquin carried a lot of this movie.
I do too.
Because Joaquin ran out and was like, oh boy, I gotta do a lot of lifting for Mel, because he doesn't really come into acting until, like, I don't know, last 10 minutes of the movie.
His back must have hurt, I'll tell you what.
That was good, though. That was like, I'll tell you this. If you and I saw someone on our roof, I don't know if I'm running around the house. I think I'm, like, scaredy pants hiding inside.
No, that's where I, like, lock all the doors. And I'm like, who do I text about this? Because I'm afraid to, like, speak out loud about it. What if they hear me? I know I said it before, but the one moment where they run around and they meet each other. And they're like, wait, how did we just meet each other? We were chasing someone. And, like, where did that person go? And then they hear the thump on the roof and they both look up, and then the camera, thank God the camera was on Joaquin and not Mel, because I don't know what the frick Mel's face would look like. He probably was taking a nap standing up or something. But Joaquin, he literally, like, you see in his face where he realizes, like, holy this is not a human. Oh, it's so good.
I liked the choice of putting the camera on them.
Yes.
From the roof perspective.
Right.
And then they're so thrown off, and it goes so fast that either the alien, like, jumps over them or gets invisible or something, and then you just see the crops move again.
Yeah.
It was done well.
Then the lady cop comes back, because there's only one cop.
Oh, and guess what? We have more bad writing, Kate. What's the bad writing about? Olympic women high jumping. What?
Again, like, this is why we need women writers in Hollywood, because if a woman was included in the writing process, she'd been like, what the f*** are you talking about? This is your idea of equal representation, is to have the one woman be like, what if it's a lady? And then give a horrible example of how it could maybe be a lady, but that's not a real example. And like, what the f***, guys? I don't understand.
It was so bad. She's like, you see my point. We can't rule out that it's anyone. And the two of them are just like, it's just like, okay.
Oh my God.
The slowness of that, I believed. And we immediately get hit with the TVs being like, India sees crop circles. And you're just like, whoa. So this isn't just like, because it's very much about the family in their home.
Yeah.
They're not going a lot of places. So the TV is like very important into what's happening, which, you know, it's kind of interesting because this whole movie doesn't have any cell phones. We got no internet.
It is interesting.
We don't
don't have any, like, well, this news website says there isn't crop circles. Well, this website says there is.
Right.
You got one source, so everyone's like, that's what we believe. And I don't know if you could do this movie now.
It would be harder, I think.
You'd have to add in some of that, like, fake news bullshit.
Well, I even thought to myself, because I was like, wow, if, like, this was happening now, I was like, I probably would be stressed, so I would choose to not watch the news.
Yes.
And then I wouldn't know the info, and then that would, like, not be helpful. So, like, hopefully that doesn't happen. But and that's actually kind of what they end up doing. That after the cop leaves, that's when she says it to him. She's like, you know what? You gotta take these kids into town. Get them some pizza. Get out of here. Get their minds off this crazy
stuff. Get out of here.
Stuff.
You just get out of here, you.
She's like, you go. Go on and get you. And again, I did think of Scary Movie 3 because in the movie, the cop in that movie, it's still a lady. They give her like a hat that this lady doesn't wear a hat, but like they give her like a hat. And then every time it goes back to her on camera, the hat gets bigger. So then by the time it's that equivalent part where she's like, you know, you just gotta relax. It's like a giant hat and she's like struggling to get in the car with the hat.
That reminds me of the Amy Schumer skit with the wine glass. How it keeps getting bigger and bigger.
The best one.
So this part, first of all, he's like, no more TV and we're not listening to the radio. We're gonna have pizza. And then we have the weird, Joaquin's like, maybe I'll join the army. No one knows what's happening. Rory's like, he's literally pulling a Gandalf. Like, he literally goes to the library and he's like, I need a book about aliens. And also, you two are really dumb talking about soda commercials. I need you guys to focus.
Yep.
And Abigail Breslin, who's Bo, right? That's her name.
Yes.
Is just like, listen, I'm a 5-year-old fortune teller mystic. And like,
she
I'm
is.
Just going to like sit in the background and flow around with my dresses.
Yeah.
And just let you know when I have to tell you the future, because I just have a feeling and I'm actually the one that's going to save everybody with my water glasses that you think are my tics.
Well, and also she, like, they're in the bookstore and, like, she's getting, like, poured glasses of water. And I was like, oh, don't do that. Don't give out, like, give them a bottle of water. You know, like, that's unsafe. Like, that's a stranger for all we know. You know, you don't take open food. You don't take, like, open drinks.
Because the other thing, you're also like, okay, the animals are acting weird. Maybe there's something in the water. Like, you still don't know what it's kind of about.
Yeah.
But we get distracted by Tracy. The pharmacist, Kate.
Oh, Tracy. Okay, here's my question. How old do you think Tracy is?
Too old.
You think she's too old? Because I felt like she was a 16-year-old girl. And I was like, wait, but you're like the town pharmacist. And
yeah,
I understand this is a small town, but like, I just have a feeling you did not go through graduate training to be the town pharmacist. So I'm concerned about everyone's health and safety right now.
I am too. I don't know if Rory's inhaler is the right dose.
No, and
she's like late. I got late 20s vibe. Late 20s. And I also hated how, okay, she basically just confessed, Father, please, I have to confess my sins because it's the end of the world with these aliens, and lists out a bunch of times she curses. And I'm sorry, but is that really the worst thing in the world? And then Mel Gibson tells the whole family to never hang out with Tracy again. And I'm like, okay,
little,
judgy priest.
I was going to say, a little judgy priest up in here. Rude! There is a confidentiality clause. So you just violated that. Way to go. Way to go, bud.
And at the same time, thank God Rory's doing his homework, because then we get the walkie-talkie. And he's like, okay. Dad, I got a book. You won't let me look at TV. You're basically close to Footloose style being strict around this house. So I got a walkie-talkie, and now the aliens are literally on it. And everyone's like, what in the world is happening?
So again, when this movie came out, Mary was born. She was born in 2001. So she was a little baby. So she had a little bebe monitor. And guess what type of bebe monitor she had?
Same one?
It was the same exact one, Bridget. I'm not even kidding. So I remember when this movie came out, I was like, I'd be like babysitting and be like, please don't make a noise. Please don't make a noise. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. I don't want to hear it. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Cause like, it's creepy. It's a creepy concept. And wow, it was spoopy.
I thought it was spoopy too. And yeah, they had the like, it was like weird noises too.
Like, yeah. It was like clicking. It's like a bug. I hated that.
I didn't like it either. No. I got Men in Black vibes. Oh! I got Jurassic Park vibes.
Oh my God. I wish the Men in Black were in this movie.
I mean, they would have helped.
I know. They would have.
This is also another weird dialogue where Joaquin is like, listen, guys, chill out about all the aliens. It's really just a bunch of nerds who've never had girlfriends. And then Abigail Breslin asks the best question in the world that says, why can't they get girlfriends?
And it never gets answered. And she's asking the real questions.
Because I married one, so screw you, M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, what are you trying to say? You're the one who made an alien movie, okay? Jeez.
Okay. I laughed so hard because I kind of was like, okay, Joaquin, your character's weird because, like, I could see you being, like, a douchebag baseball player that, you know, you helped your brother, so you're, like, a nice guy, but then at the same time, you're, like, envious, so you don't know what you're doing. And I thought that was, like, out of character, him to, like, say a comment like that, because he's pretty nice the rest of the movie. He's, like, yeah, a good father figure to them.
I almost kind of took it as, like, it was, I mean, again, the psychologist in me is like, all right, is he, like, going through the stages of grief where he, like, clearly saw something very traumatic on the roof, and he knew that was, like, not normal human shit. So now he's, like, in the denial phase where he's like, nah, it's not real, it's made up. And then he goes through, like, you know, all the other ones.
He does it great.
Yeah, because he does, like, shortly after, he then kind of, like, buys into it pretty quickly.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
It's scary.
But then after this is when it's pitch black nighttime, Mel Gibson says, you know what's a great idea?
Oh.
To go out alone, abandon the children, tell no one where I'm going. Alone, again, in case I forgot to say that. I'm alone. I have no weapons. I have one flashlight. Sometimes the batteries don't work.
Not
prepared.
I'm gonna
go out in the cornfield. Yeah.
Continuously not prepared.
And that was spooky scene.
Oh, it was so creepy. I literally wrote Run Mel Run.
Oh my
in
God.
Capital letters. The other thing too is he also had like weird dialogue yelling at the aliens. Do you remember that? Where he was like, you're not famous. And I'm like,
well,
what?
But he didn't know that was aliens. He thought it was like still people because he's like a little slow.
Ah,
he's a little slow to the game.
Yeah, the non-believer was a little slow.
Taking his time. But that's when he goes inside and then that's when he's like, all right, let's turn on the TV and I'll get traumatized together. We're a family. We gotta do the trauma together, y'all. Let's do it.
Well, and that's what makes this movie really good is just focusing on the family.
Yes,
like,
I agree.
The arcs were great because you got to dive into four characters really deeply and
yeah,
nothing like distracting because all the rest of those characters were annoying.
I almost feel like this could be turned into like a play, you know, because it really is like very character based. And I mean,
yeah,
a lot of like scene changes. I mean, you'd have to have someone someone dressed up as an alien on stage, but
it would probably be better now.
I feel like I shouldn't like tell M. Night Shyamalan that because he'd be like, oh, my ego. I mean, it's just so big already, but I'll add that in there because I'm like, I am so amazing.
Well, the background music's great, but you'd be like, so we're going to take all your writing, throw it in the garbage, and make songs out of it. Dun, 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 dun.
I used to
be a baseball player, baseball player, baseball player.
There's a guy in the background like, you should be licking toes. I think we could write
that. Join the army. You get to lick toes there.
And then Rory Culkin's like, aliens are real. Put on tinfoil hats. Aliens are real. Watch out for those aliens. Have your asthma inhaler. Don't leave it upstairs.
And taking a page from your scary movie reference, his tinfoil hat just gets bigger as the song keeps going. Okay.
Oh my God. So much that could be done with it. Oh,
okay.
Jesus Christ.
So I feel like the TV really set them in. Then there's a very famous
talk between Mel Gibson and Joaquin Phoenix, which I think is the purpose of this movie.
I love this scene.
Okay, this is why I thought you probably love this movie, because it kind of is the basis.
I love it so much. You're right. I think it definitely is, like, kind of just speaks to every part of the movie. But I also just love how maybe cinematography or, like, the lighting, because it's, like, yeah. You really see, like, only half their faces, which yeah. I think is interesting, because, like, the nerd in me is kind of like, is this to show, like, you're not showing truly who you are? Like, both of you are kind of, like, still your guards up, and you're not, like, I believe or I don't or I don't know. And, like, it was more with Mel Gibson, too. Like, he was really, like, more of the half and half. And it is, like, kind of a weird... You know, he sets it up weird, but I still like the message. Because Meryl... What did he even ask him? He asked him, like, is this the end of the world or something? Like, I feel like he asked a simple question, and Mel's like, let me just take out my speech, because I prepared this. It's 20 minutes.
First, he goes, yes, it is. And Joaquin was like, can you, like, try to, like, soften this for me? Because I'm really scared, big brother. And then he was like, I'm going to put on my priest moment and tell the story. We are now in the third gospel.
Thank God he did not actually reference the Bible.
Oh my God. The only part about this that annoyed me is Joaquin was like, yeah, you know, I think I do believe in science. Like,
oh God.
This one time,
no,
I was like,
Joaquin.
I was like really about to like mack it with this girl on the couch. And you're like, dude, okay, this is painful already. And he's like, I turned away because like I had gum, you know, like you can't kiss someone with gum. And I'm like, I would. But anyways.
Yeah, what?
And the gum was like a sign because when I turned back, she'd thrown up all over herself. And if she threw up in my mouth, I would have never been able to come back from that. That was a sign, man.
Like, such a frat boy response.
What? Just terrible.
Hashtag first world problem.
For real. But the meat of that story was really, really good because, listen, there's some truth, especially with our pandemic year, where you say, are you going to crawl up into a ball mm-hmm. and just think, this is the worst thing ever, life is and it is what it is, whatever. Or are you going to say, like, there's a reason for this and you see the good in it, or you try to kind of have some optimism with it.
Yeah.
I think it hits different after, like, a pandemic year.
And, like, it definitely was also trying to pander to the whole subplot of him losing his religious faith,
yes.
too, and, like,
yes.
fine. But that then he also, like, talks about, he goes, oh, yeah, you know, the last thing, like, she said to me, like, the mom, was that he told him to see, and he told Meryl to swing away. But then Mel Gibson goes, and she said that because her brain neurons were firing, because she was dying. And you're like, ah, oh, my God. And then he goes, we're all alone. I was like, okay, well, that took a sharp turn. Don't think that's what she meant. Think you're twisting the words, sir, but okay.
Yeah, dark. But it also put Joaquin in an interesting position, because Joaquin was like, ooh, my brother's like not gonna do well with this, so like I gotta get through these stages, as you mentioned, the psychology stages, so I could be like there for everybody, because like it's gonna be bad.
Yeah.
Then they find out the aliens can go invisible, and we put on the tinfoil hats, and you know, Rory's like, stop making fun of my book, Dad, I'm gonna save us all. And poof. Then we get to the creepy M. Night Shyamalan scene, where you said earlier that he calls Mel.
Yes.
And I think it's because he saw them in the town and he wanted to say something, which, like, screw you, it's been 6 months and you killed someone, like,
yeah.
But he hung up, and I think Mel Gibson was like, what in the world, like, mm-hmm. you know what, ah! Weird, I'm going over there.
Did you also notice what that guy's job was? It was very subtle, but I thought this was good.
No.
Too. So he is the vet in the town, and oh. that makes more sense, because in the beginning of the movie, when dog peed inside, the kid's like, we gotta take him to the vet, and Mel's like, no, we'll just go to a human doctor. And he's like, he doesn't treat dogs, and he's like, he'll know what to do. And it's like, so subtle. But I was like, oh,
smart,
sneaky.
I like that, Kate. I did not put that together.
Yeah,
but their scene is weird. M. Night Shyamalan goes a long dialogue to eventually say, so sorry about killing your wife.
He doesn't say like the best choice of words too. He goes, it's like it was meant to be.
I
which
know.
You're like, maybe, like, you know, don't say it.
I wrote, this dude says it was meant to be to kill his wife. What a f-
Well, and then it's kind of like you see a scene where the wife, that's like one of the first things she says. She's like, it's like it was meant to be. And then we all just like move on real quickly. And I'm like, that's still like not cool. Like, let's not use it in this context, you know? Let's maybe not do that.
Kate, we're never stuck between a tree and a truck that more magically survived, even though our body is sliced in half and they can't remove the truck because then I'll immediately die. So I have to wait for my husband, Mel Gibson, to come. But I'm just going to predict that I'm not going to say this was meant to be.
Definitely not.
That's not what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about like, damn, I wish I would have lived longer. I got kids and wow, tell everybody I love them.
And again, if we all think back to that great movie, Scary Movie 3, during this scene, Charlie Sheen, who's Mel Gibson, he comes up and the cop is explaining like she's cut in half and he's like down the middle and she's like, no, at the waist. And then he goes, so this will be the last time I get to talk to the top half? And she's like, yes. And he goes, what about the bottom half? Can I get some time with that? And she was like, I don't understand like what you're saying.
Oh, that's good. I think at this point, though, we get into the pantry scene where you clearly know someone's in that pantry because you see, you hear, you see something, there's shadows. It was creepy. That hand came out. It scared the crap out of me. And then he chopped off some fingers.
I hate it. Part of me was like, good thing that wasn't a fucking human. Imagine that was like a random person.
But it's important because when we see the alien later, he's like missing the two fingers.
Oh my God.
Revenge alien.
The revenge
alien.
And I cannot. Too funny.
Yeah, so that part scared me. And then I think when Mel gets home, he's like, okay, I've officially decided we're taking action.
Yeah.
Taking a page out of M. Night Shyamalan, which, by the way, was probably a good move to go to the water.
I know. Well, he goes, he was like, I heard they don't like near water. And Morgan's like, that's not in my alien book that was written 8 years ago. So, incorrect.
This is where the internet would help everybody. Yes. Because we'd all be refreshing and someone would be like, okay, pour some water on them. They're the Wicked Witch of the East. Yeah. And you're like, we got this.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think because Mel cut off the fingers, there was a little bit of this like, oh, you can like hurt these things. And Rory Culkin's like, okay, so sometimes the aliens come and like they just want to like steal our resources, and then other times they want to literally like annihilate everything. And in a really like sad moment, I thought, like, do you think because like our planet is getting like aliens are never gonna come because like we offer nothing anymore? And is that why like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos are trying to like fly away, because they're like, oh, we'll be the aliens and steal resources from whatever planet we know?
That's definitely what's happened. The aliens are like writing books about Elon Musk and like what to do if he invades your planet. They're like, he's gonna come, he's gonna have a space car, and you just gotta don't buy into it, all right? He's gonna wanna talk.
He's gonna say, Dogecoin, don't buy that Dogecoin, okay? He uses these tweets. They're just nothing. They're nothing. But it just, after this movie, I started researching all aliens. But I kept thinking, like, I'm not worried because, like, what the f*** do we offer at this point? Like, I don't know. They're going somewhere else, I'd think. But.
Well, and then it's like the whole they're coming and. This is another critique this movie gets where it's like, oh, the aliens can't get through like a wooden door.
I know. I know.
But honestly, I'm just like, I don't care.
I don't care. I don't care either.
I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
Well, and I think from the moment they start boarding up the house to like literally face-to-face alien, I repeat over and over again, you need to focus and prepare for battle. You need to focus. Somebody grab a weapon.
We need weapons. Yes.
So you need to get who? What's the plan? Where's the map?
Yep.
Where's the lock? Instead, he all like creepily gives them a last meal. Like they're going to hit the electric chair. That was a weird scene.
It was very sad. And then everyone's like, Dad, too much. And then he's like, fine, I'll eat all your meals that I just cooked for 8 hours. And then it's like, oh. And then he yells and makes Bo cry. And I hate it.
I hated it. And I was like, this is the Mel Gibson we know about. Yikes.
But then he does cry, and then the kids go and hug him, and I was like, oh.
Yeah. Thank God that happened.
Thank God.
Of course, because I was in this stressed out, you guys need to prepare better. I was like, they should be carbo loading. Like,
Abigail Breslin, they need energy.
Like, protein some of these, shakes.
Like lots French of water. Toast is going to just get you spiked in sugar and then you're going to be down. Like, we need you to focus. And like, Joaquin, chicken teriyaki? You can run after that? I don't think so. Too acidic.
And like, how'd you guys make that? What's happening? Oh my god. But, you know, they do that. And then the baby monitor is what interrupts them. And it's the aliens being like, all right, we here. I hope you're all done crying and hugging.
They're like, save some French toast for us.
It's time to move it along. And yeah, so then they break in. I guess it was like an attic or something. That's what happens.
So we once again aren't prepared because the inhaler is upstairs. So Rory Culkin is losing his shiz.
Well, they're in the house and then they hear the aliens like get up in the attic. So then that's where they are like, oh, we better go in another place. So they go in the basement. But as they're running away, you see the hand under the door. Did you see that?
Yes.
Oh, this is creepy.
Hated it.
And that's where they're in the basement. There's no lights and they're trying to like block the door. And then there's a weird scene which leads up to the asthma attack where they're like, they're not trying to get in the door anymore. They're just making noises. And then really quickly, they're like, why would they be making noises? It must be to distract us. And again, like me, I would have been like, I'm not thinking like this. I'm gonna keep holding the door, everyone. So like, I don't know how we're like coming to this conclusion. And then like Rory was like, I read in the book that they're gonna try to get in here. So y'all better get up in there. And then that's where Rory gets grabbed.
Oh, yes.
Through a coal chute. It's scary. And
super scary. I am Bo in that entire scene. I'm wearing a random Tinkerbell dress in the corner under the stairs, praying that my psychic abilities will take me through.
Where you're like, I had a dream about this, but no one listened to me.
And it's not going well for my brothers. I might stay away from him. Love you, bro.
Yeah. And then Mel Gibson, though, he says a good line. And this I felt was good writing. But Mel Gibson he's trying to calm down Morgan, who's Rory Culkin. He's having an asthma attack. So he's holding them. He's trying to like breathe with them. He's like, breathe with me, breathe with me. Like, calm down. It's going to be okay. And he goes, don't be afraid of what's happening. Believe it's going to pass. And it's like he's talking about the asthma attack, but like you could think of it as like he's talking to himself. Yeah. Like you have to, you know, it's gonna be okay and you have to believe again.
No, this is when Mel Gibson gets really good at acting. Like yeah. He is fantastic at intense, serious emotions. Like when he, even at the end when they think he's dead, the boy's dead and he's crying outside. Yeah. Like I was like, my wow.
God.
Like,
I got emotional.
I did. I cried twice.
Yeah, I was like, I should not be crying in like a horror movie, but I am. So yep. Here we are.
He does it well and they make it through the night.
Yeah.
Which this is also not what I would do. I would hide down there for like
forever.
For 3 months.
Definitely.
Maybe.
That's how I felt.
I'd live down there. They had cans of food. We just eat peas.
Yeah, they go up hella quick. Meryl is like, oh, the radio said they're leaving. And I'm like, what radio? Who's the station? Who's on the station? Is it an alien on the station? You don't know. We don't even know what channel we're on. This is like an old school radio. Like, this is, no, I'm not going off of that. No.
But this ties to the theme because Joaquin was like, you know, I believe in signs and they could have a weakness as everyone has a weakness. And he's like having that like more positive, like we made it, like we can do this. And now no one's up here. And you're almost like, you're borderline naive a little bit.
Yeah.
That's a really good final scene though.
Yeah.
But the, like the CGI sucks.
It's bad.
It's like
early 2000s CGI.
I know, but I think they should have done like a real person with makeup.
Oh, like practical? Oh yeah, that would have definitely been better. I agree.
Like get some Stan Winston. All right, he's still around.
Yes.
You could have stole him from Lake Placid to help this.
Just get the giant alligator and been like, these are the aliens. I would have believed that too. So. Yep. And it's the revenge alien.
Oh my
God.
How
did he find out where we lived? How did he know the directions? How did he get out of the pantry? This is the song that'll be in the musical.
I'm the revenge alien. Look at my 3 fingers left. I'm the revenge alien.
That's a great one.
I'm about to steal his breath. Ooh, I'm rhyming.
I have to say, though, the way that, like, Rory Culkin was kind of, like, slunk, like, in his arms was very creepy. And you see it through the TV reflection. There was, though, a point with Mel Gibson where I'm like, okay, you're kind of, like, not doing anything. Because Mel Gibson froze for a long time.
And it was long because that's where they do the rest of the, like, my wife died flashback. And I was like, oh my God. So many of these. Like, goodness.
I know we're just coming off of Mighty Ducks, but it, like, literally reminded me of the Gordon Bombay, like, miss shot. I was like, get it. My God.
Yeah, and you didn't really learn anything new, because we kind of knew, like, all the stuff that she says in that flashback anyway.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just get a baseball bat and go medieval on his in the living room.
Well, and we all at that point, like, Joaquin really, he's such a good character that you're love like him. You know what? You came back to help your brother. You've been working at the gas station. Here's this Batman. You got some anger. Let's do this.
Let's do it. Hit him.
Let's do it.
Beat him up.
And then we see the alien falling, and then we get into, which I think this is what I read a lot of people were mad about, is an alien comes to abduct people with a planet that's 71% water, and that's their only weakness.
Okay, but here's my counter, because again, we need everyone to keep in mind this is a sci-fi movie. Like, we don't have a frame of reference for aliens, so, like, the argument saying, like, how dumb are those aliens? Like, what if they don't have water on their planet and they don't know? Also, the thing that bothers me about that is that was the same exact weakness in War of the Worlds, except in War of the Worlds, they're like, oh, it wasn't technically the water, it was, like, the amoebas in the water, except there's amoebas in all water. So really, it was water. And nobody's about that plot point in War of the Worlds, but they're about it in Signs. And I just want to say, step off! Step off! Because you got no grounds.
Okay,
no grounds,
Kate, well, listen. Clearly you and Rory have been talking about this from your book, and you might need to take a little chill pill.
Oh, God.
The scene, though, that because Rory has asthma, and the alien was trying to, like, suck his soul or whatever it was. Or
he's trying to put poison into him.
Put poison into him.
Shooting poison into him.
Okay, that was really cool.
Yeah.
That literally Mel Gibson was like, his lungs were closed. His lungs. Oh my God. Like, you know, like, because it was so good. He was like, I hate you, God. You both can't die.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, yeah, man, I'm believing that. So.
And then God's like, JK, JK, LOL. Oh my God, I'm having a flashback to Awkwafina right now. I can't. I'm dying.
So we end the movie with people, them surviving, and I guess the aliens were like, well, Earth is off limits because they got water, so, you know, it's winter, everything's good, and the family's just fine, and boom, we go back to those stupid credits again.
We do, and ending felt a little abrupt
yes.
for me. I kind of wish it was... I don't know what I would have liked it to be instead.
The way I would end this in my own movie is, like, they could all have a dinner where they have their own meal and it becomes, like, happy in the end.
Oh, it's like, that would have been super nice. Mm-hmm. Where they all know, like, this isn't the last meal. We're just doing it because we're a fun family. Oh, that would have been really nice.
Yep.
But all in all, I like Signs.
I did too. I would see it again, but, like, in a few years. Like, I gotta forget the dialogue, and then I'll like it again, because if I memorized the dialogue, I'd be like, oh, boy. And, you know, Mel Gibson, man, he doesn't age well. You're just like, Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Well, Kate, aliens remind me of the movie pick that I have for you.
Oh, interesting.
It's not technically aliens, but...
Uh-huh.
It is some supernatural stuff happening.
Okay.
Now, this is our episode that's right before our 1 year.
Yes.
So, ironically, this movie came out the same year as Signs, 2002.
What a sign.
And it has some superhuman stuff.
Okay.
Possibly genetically altered. Possibly the nerds are involved.
The nerds. Oh.
It is
once I say this, you'll know, superhero.
Oh!
It's the thing in your room that you don't want to kill, but you know it's creepy. It's Spider-Man.
Woo! The OG!
The OG.
Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
Sam Raimi. Oh! And we have Kirsten Dunst, James Franco, William Dafoe. Who's the main guy?
Tobey Maguire. Oh my god. Wait, we saw this in theaters. Do you remember seeing this together, you and me? Because I do.
I will never forget the upside down kissing scene, being like, what?
As an 11-year-old, I didn't register too much with that scene, but I could see you as a 16-year-old registering with that scene.
I was like, huh? This was good, though. I think they did this movie really well.
I think this is a good superhero movie, even though it's pre, like, when Marvel, like, kind of really got into it. They did
so many of these. So this is, like...
Now there's, like, never-ending superhero content, but, like, back in the 2000s and early 2000s, there really wasn't that much stuff. But this movie, I think, rewatching this, I am still gonna like it. I'm sure there's gonna be cheesy stuff, because I haven't seen it in a while, but I think I'm still gonna like it enough.
Yeah! And woo! Folks, if you're into the comic stuff, we're here for you, and we did Batman a really long time ago.
Oh my god, that was episode 4!
That was episode 4?
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
Whoa.
That was almost a year ago. It's crazy.
Okay, what?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's a sign.
It's a sign.
Kate, I just want to let you know that if you got that library book and started making tinfoil hats telling me that we got to prepare for aliens, I would be much more prepared.
Oh, thank God.
I would have all the boards, or I'd really just force you to water. I'd strap Bear to my back.
Oh, thank God. That'd be heavy.
You'd be protected, because I'd really get into, like, Rambo mode, because no way these aliens are taking over. So, I love you.
I love that. And Bridge, if, you know, we lived on a farm and neither of us really made income, but we somehow were living okay, and someone made a crop circle in our crop and we had to call the cop and tell her, you know, someone, probably not a human, jumped on the roof and she tried to go on a monologue about Olympians that are ladies, I would tell her, shut the fuck up. And find the aliens, because they're about to invade. So, I don't know if that would help, but...
No, it would really help, because I would just be so emotionally drained from my conversation about Olympic women athletes with her that I feel like you'd really give me the energy I need.
Yeah.
Listeners, we hope that you enjoyed Signs as much as we did. We recommend you watch it. Subtitles might be better, so you could really laugh at the dialogue sometimes, but give the kid actors a chance.
Well, and listeners, if you also like Signs and you're not a person sipping the haterade and claiming you know what aliens would or would not do, considering we have no frame of reference... You should write us a review!
Ooh, yeah!
We love reviews. We love written reviews. You can review us on Apple Podcasts. We also have a website, sisterswhoseenit.com. If you scroll down on our main page, we have a form you can fill out to request a movie. So if you are a passionate alien believer and you love aliens and maybe you got an alien friend that I don't know about, but that's cool, and you're like, yo, there's a lot of cool other alien movies and you want to request one, do that on the form and I will secretly put it to the top of the list. No, I'm Ooh! just kidding. I have to, you know, we have to go in order, but we will do it. So we love that. You can listen to our episodes on there. You have links to all our social media. And Bridge, what else can they do on our website?
They can buy us coffee.
Yes.
And as part of buying us coffee, a couple things I want to happen. So first, donate, buy us coffee, whatever. And then I want to have a long discussion specifically with the people who have seen UFOs and no one's believed them, because I think we would believe you.
I would believe you.
You could leave that whole story like in your review. So you could be like, hey, podcast is great, but listen. On December 2nd, 1998 in Tucson, Arizona, and then give us the breakdown. I specifically want to know pictures, videos.
Yep.
And then we're going to correlate with all of our other fans to determine if we could truly like find these
aliens, because you know what? Pandemics, climate. I mean, aliens are next, right?
Yeah.
And Men in Black rock, so we got Will Smith, and he's kind of bored these days. So, like, yeah. But yeah, Ko-Fi, donate it some money.
Well, and listeners, you can also not only buy us coffee and write that message, but you can also send us an email, sisterswhoseenit@gmail.com. So you can put all that in an email.
That too. That might be easier.
Might be easier, but you know, you yeah. do you. We love all of that. So check that out, and we hope to hear from you. All right, listeners, we'll see you next week for Spider-Man! There was a Spider-Man musical on Broadway, by the way, so we'll be talking about that.
If there's a Spider-Man musical, we can do a science musical.
Yes. Absolutely. No, we are. We are doing a science musical. We already talked about that, so.
That would be so good.
We're doing that.
All right, we love you. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Toodles.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Sisters Who Seen It. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Check out our website at sisterswhoseenit.com, where you can email us, request movies to be reviewed, and keep up to date with all things sisters. Also, make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. See you next week!